Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our sixth and last class on karma in the Discovering Buddhism module. Do we have anyone who's here for the first time tonight? Okay, welcome. We're going to be doing a lot of meditation tonight, so I hope you'll get some benefit from it. And as always, we'll start off with our concentration meditation. People should be getting quite familiar with that practice by now. And then we'll get into the purification practice, which will be the main subject this evening. Okay. As always, we begin by checking our posture, starting with a back that is nice and straight, a little bit straighter than we normally sit, if we're on the cushion or in the chair. Our shoulders are down and back slightly so that our chest is open. Our head is straight on our shoulders, maybe just a degree or two in front of the vertical, but certainly not slumped forward, not tilted to one side or the other. Our eyes are either slightly open or very lightly closed, but no tension in the muscles of the eyelids. Lips slightly closed. Our tongue is on the ridge of the gums behind our upper teeth. Our shoulders are down and back. Our upper arms are slightly away from our torso, allowing a little air to flow in and out. Our hands can either be on our knees or right hand on left with our thumbs touching slightly below our navel. That gesture is said to represent the union of wisdom and compassion that is enlightenment. If we're sitting on a cushion, we're a little bit towards the front of the cushion, not in the middle, but towards the front so our pelvis can open up a little bit. And as we become more comfortable with the posture, our knees start to move down towards the floor. Our legs are crossed in a position, any position that we find comfortable. There's no need to sit in full lotus. If you're sitting on a chair, your back is a little bit forward, you're not leaning back, and your feet are flat on the floor, and it's perfectly okay to put a cushion under your feet if you find that helpful. So take a minute, just scan the posture, scan the body from head to toe. If you feel any sources of tension or discomfort, address them now so that the posture becomes comfortable, stable, self-sustaining, not something that you have to pay attention to or are distracted by during the meditation. And we'll begin with the 9-round breathing, a very simple version of that. Each breath is accompanied by the stomach expanding on the in-breath so that the diaphragm is pulled down and the lungs are filled to their maximum. As we exhale, the stomach is pulled back towards the spine. The diaphragm rises and we completely exhale all the air in the lungs. So we begin with the right index finger closing the left nostril. 3 breaths in and out through the right nostril. when the index finger closes the right nostril. Three breaths in and out through the left nostril. Then three breaths in and out through both nostrils. And now we allow our breathing to return to its normal pattern. And we begin by setting our motivation for the meditation that is to follow. Generating as much as possible what we refer to as the bodhicitta motivation, the great mind motivation, that's everything we do together, say together, think together tonight is done with the motivation that it make a positive imprint on my mind stream that will ripen in the future so that I can be of greater benefit to all living beings. To my family, my friends, my co-workers, myself, those people I don't really like, those people I don't even know. And having set our motivation, we now begin the actual meditation, a simple concentration meditation. The object of concentration is the movement of the breath in and out through the nostrils, the tactile sensation of air moving in and out. We place our consciousness directly on that, mind on breath, direct perception of the breath, not thinking about it or visualizing it, but directly perceiving it. And every time we notice our concentration has wandered to a sound, or a memory, or a physical sensation, or a thought about tomorrow, we set that aside and come back to the breath over and over and over again. So our mind is becoming familiar with concentration on the breath. And now we end our meditation with a dedication. We acknowledge that we've done something positive just by sitting like this and beginning to work with our mind. We rejoice in that. And we dedicate the positive energy that we have created to the benefit of all sentient beings. Any questions or comments on that meditation? I think people should be quite familiar with it now. Everybody's very quiet and motionless, so people seem to be comfortable with their posture. Okay. Good. So tonight we're going to be doing a purification practice. We've been talking for the past 5 weeks about karma, the actions of body, speech, and mind that make imprints on our consciousness that we will experience in the future. Those actions that are motivated by compassion, love, patience, generosity, will result in our happiness in the future. It's definite. Those actions that are motivated by attachment, anger, or ignorance will result in our suffering in the future. And at this point in the course, we usually have developed a very strong sense that we have a lot of suffering ahead of us. So rather than end on that note, I'd like to end this class with a purification practice, which is a practice, or a whole lot of practices that the Buddha taught that can lessen the strength of the negative karma that we've created. And ultimately, if it's accompanied by an understanding of emptiness, the way the reality exists, it can completely eliminate negative karma, and that's a necessary step to become enlightened, to become a Buddha, to become completely compassionate and wise. We have to eliminate all negative karma from our mind stream, and the Buddha said it is something that we can do. It's a possibility for all of us. So we discussed last week there a complete purification practice has four parts, and they all start with R's, and they're referred to as the four remedial actions. The first one is refuge. Sometimes reliance is used for that. This means getting in touch with your source of spiritual strength and guidance. So this is a Buddhist course, so we're going to start with Buddhist refuge, taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Even if you're not a Buddhist, you can give it a try, but it could be Jesus Christ or the teachings of Muhammad or anything, whatever your spiritual refuge is, where you go for a safe place. Okay? The second of the three R's is regret. And what is regret? Somebody want to take a stab at that? Not guilt. You regret these negative actions because you know they will cause problems for you in the future. Like I said last week, the way I think about it is an informed knowledge about the consequences of one's actions. I did this. I know it's going to cause problems for me. So I want to do something about it. The next one is the remedy. And this can be lots of different things. The practice we'll do tonight, it involves mantra recitation and visualization. But certainly, if you've had an argument with someone, the remedy would be to go and apologize to them, or at least part of the remedy. It's not like we can do it all just sitting on our cushion and ignore the consequences of our actions in the real world. And this is so remedy. And then the fourth one is resolve. And what's that? Yeah, a resolve not to do this negative action or negative actions for X amount of time. And you should be another R, realistic with yourself. Here, not say I'm going to never tell a lie for the rest of my life, but maybe not tell another lie tonight. That may be more realistic. So these are the four parts of a complete purification practice. We're using the mind and its ability to work with itself to purify itself. So this is all something that's going on in our mind. Certainly we can do practices that aren't complete purification practices, but to get the most bang for our buck, it should include all four of these. So tonight we're going to do a practice that's referred to as Vajrasattva practice. Who here has done Vajrasattva practice before? Okay, so some people have. Let's see. I want everyone to have one of these little booklets. Could you? Some people brought their own. If you pass those out. Did you do any Vajrasattva practice in the How to Meditate course by any chance? Anybody remember? No. No, okay. Did you do any visualizations of bodhisattvas or anything like that? Okay. You did Shinraisig? Okay, great. Yeah, so a lot to introduce tonight, a whole lot of stuff that may be a little bit new. Regret is probably what motivates you to do purification, but in the actual practice, this is a traditional way. But that makes sense. Yeah, saying actually regret probably comes first. That's what motivates us to do purification practice. Yes, but then in the actual practice, you'd do it in this order traditionally. Okay, everybody have one that they can refer to? Great, thank you. This is a little booklet was Vajrasattva practice is a very common practice for purification. There are lots of different versions of it. In our tradition, particularly the organization that we're part of, the FPMT, Vajrasattva practice is really highly emphasized. And when you do individual retreat, hopefully under the guidance of a qualified teacher, it's very common for your first retreat to be a Vajrasattva purification practice, to be the first serious retreat you do. Lots of times you'll talk to some of the older students in our tradition and they'll have done a three-month Vajrasattva retreat at the request of their teachers, because Vajrasattva, it's a good general purification practice, but it's also specifically a purification practice that removes obstacles that are blocking us from making progress in our meditation or other meditations. If we find that every time we sit down to meditate on our cushion, we just can't do anything, we're not getting anywhere, we're stuck, things aren't going well, lots of times if you go to a teacher with those concerns, they'll say you need to do some purification practice. There are certain negative karmic imprints that are preventing you from being an effective meditator. So it's often the very first serious retreat a Buddhist student will do. This little booklet is a version of the Vajrasattva practice composed by Lama Zopa Rinpoche, the spiritual director of our organization. It's published by Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archive, which is an FPMT center in Boston. And they take the teachings of Lama Zopa and Lama Yeshe, who founded this organization and died a number of years ago, and they put them out in booklets. And there's a separate bookshelf out near the window that contains everything they publish. And everything they publish is distributed freely. There's no charge for any of their books. So look at them and help yourself to them. They're wonderful. And if you'd like to make a donation to support them in the work they do, there are envelopes there. So this is Lama Zopa's version of Vajrasattva practice. And it's like everything with Lama Zopa, this is idiosyncratic. This is it's a little bit different from a lot of Vajrasattva practices, so we're not going to follow it exactly this evening. I'm going to be referring to a version in the book How to Meditate by Kathleen McDonald. This is an old version. It's been reprinted with a different cover on it. I think we have it out in the bookstore. This is a great reference book if you're new to meditation. I use it all the time. So, Vajrasattva, also known, that's the Sanskrit name. The Tibetan name is Dorje Sempa. And Vajrasattva is one of these meditation images. They're referred to as bodhisattvas. We have others around here. We have Chin Rezig up there in the right-hand corner. And we have the Medicine Buddha there, the blue one. And let's see, we have Green Tara down there. They're referred to as bodhisattvas, but they're actually aspects of enlightenment. And they are an aid to help us get in touch with those qualities of enlightened mind that they represent. Tara generally represents compassionate action. The Medicine Buddha represents healing. Chin Rezig represents compassion. So there are aspects of enlightenment that we use to help our meditation practice. And they're very strange looking, and we may find it hard to relate to them initially. They have a lot of Eastern and Tibetan specifically imagery in the way they're depicted. So I'm just going to say, just give it a try. If it doesn't sit well with you, that's fine. But these are referred to bodhisattvas. They're meditational images or beings that make it, if we just try and meditate on enlightenment, it's so vast and complicated and all-encompassing that most of us would find it hard to do. So we take a little aspect of it and meditate on that. And Vajrasattva is the purifying aspect of enlightenment. Now I have to tell you, if you look at this depiction of Vajrasattva on the cover of the booklet, it's very hard to tell what's going on, but if you look closely, okay, it's really hard to tell. This is Vajrasattva with consort, with sexual partner. You can't see it, but there's a female image with the back to us. The male image is facing us. So technically, you're not supposed to meditate on that image unless you've had an empowerment, We're going to meditate on the image of Vajrasattva without consort, which anybody can do. The meditations where you use the Bodhisattva with consort require an initiation, permission to do the practice from a qualified teacher. Some people here may have had that initiation, but most of us haven't, so we're not going to do the meditation with consort. So this is a little bit advanced for most of us here. Vajrasattva with consort is referred to as Haruka Vajrasattva, and we're going to do just plain old Vajrasattva. Okay? The part I would like you to open your book to here is the mantra, which is on page 14. And to really get the power of reciting this mantra, you have to get the transmission from a qualified teacher, and I am not a qualified teacher to give the transmission of the mantra, but we can certainly recite it together. So I'm just going to say the syllables, and you can say them after me, just so you get familiar with the mantra. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Denopatita Dido Me Bawa. These are usually pronounced as W's. That's an insider bit of information. Sutokayo me bawa. Supokayo me bawa. Anurakta me bawa. Sawarsidi memparyatsa. Sawarkama sutsa me. Sitam Shriyam Kuru Hum. Ha 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 ho. Bhagawan. Sawartata Gata. Vajra Mame Munsa. Vajra Bhava Maha Samaya. Sattva. Ahum Pe. Okay, and according to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, the meaning of the mantra, you, Vajrasattva, have generated the holy mind according to your pledge. Your holy mind is enriched with the simultaneous holy actions of releasing transmigratory beings from samsara. Whatever happens in my life, happiness or suffering, good or bad, with a pleased holy mind, never give up, but please guide me. Please stabilize all happiness, including the happiness of the upper realms. Actualize all actions and sublime and common realizations. And please make the glory of the five wisdoms abide in my heart. So I cannot translate the translation, but I think you get a general sense of what it means. So in Vajrasattva practice, the visualization of Vajrasattva and recitation of the mantra is the remedy, is what we're doing to purify negative karma. We'll start by taking refuge. We'll generate a sense of regret. We'll establish the visualization and recite the mantra. And then we'll end with the resolve. So in this meditation, we're going to be doing a lot of visualization, which just means imagining. Use your mind's ability to imagine Vajrasattva as a real being who's helping you in your purification process. So there's a lot going on. We've got the visual image, and then we'll add the mantra to it. So we're going to be a couple things going. It's a more complex meditation than what we've done with the simple watching the breath. And we can see when we're trying to do something like that, how having developed some ability to concentrate is going to be very useful. So instead of concentrating on our breath during the remedy session, we'll be concentrating on the image of Vajrasattva and the mantra. So every time we notice that our concentration, our mind has wandered away from the image and the mantra, we come back to it. Okay? So I am going to lead you through this meditation, the different sections, and keep, if you don't know the mantra, keep your book open to the mantra so that we can recite it together when we get to those parts. Any questions or comments so far? The mantra, what we're going to do is we're going to do the mantra in four groups of seven. Four groups of seven. And each time we will read it. Four groups of seven. Each time we'll read it together one time, and then you'll say it to yourself six times after that. Said that when you're saying mantra to yourself in a group meditation, it's important to articulate the syllables, but you should be saying it so quietly that the person next to you can't hear you. That's hard to do. And so we'll hear a lot of going on, but it should be relatively quiet, but the point is to articulate the syllables clearly. So we begin by establishing the visualization of Vajrasattva. Then we'll go for refuge. I'll just read that out and you can think about this. Then we'll develop a sense of regret. I'll read and you can meditate on that. And then we'll do the remedy, which is the actual recitation of the mantra. Okay. So begin by checking your posture. This will be a little bit longer meditation, so deal with any issues you have with your posture now. If halfway through you need to adjust your posture, that's okay. You don't have to be frozen. And to settle the mind, just take three deep breaths from the abdomen. Make sure you have your little booklet open to the mantra if you're not familiar with it, we'll need to be referring to that. Take a moment and set your motivation for doing the purification practice. That you're purifying your mind, weakening the imprints of negative karma, so that you can be of greater benefit to all sentient beings. And now we'll begin the visualization using the mind's eye and its ability to imagine. And we imagine above the crown of our head, about 4 inches above, there is an open white lotus blossom. And on the lotus blossom is a moon disc, which is a round cushion shape made of luminous white light. And seated on the moon disk, facing forward just as we are, is Vajrasattva. His body is white and translucent, and he's adorned with beautiful colored robes and jewels. And every aspect of his being is as if he is made of luminous, radiant light. His body has the characteristics of light. He has two arms, and they are crossed at the level of his heart. His right hand holds a vajra, which is the small meditation device that symbolizes bliss. And his left hand holds a bell, which symbolizes wisdom perceiving reality. And the vajra and bell together symbolize his achievement of the state of enlightenment. And at Vajrasattva's heart is another smaller moon disk within his body at the level of his heart. Another white moon disk. At the center of that moon disk is the syllable HUM, H-U-M, the letters spelling HUM. And then around the edge of the moon disk are the letters of Vajrasattva's mantra that we just read. And if that's too complicated, don't get hung up on that part of the visualization. Just visualize the white moon disk at Vajrasattva's heart. So establish the visualization very clearly. Vajrasattva on the moon disk, on the lotus blossom, hands crossed at his heart, moon disk within his body at the level of his heart, about 4 inches above your head. So just concentrate on that visualization for the next few minutes. So keeping the visualization, we now do the first part of the purification practice. We go for refuge, and I'll just read the refuge prayer 3 times. Keep your concentration on the image that you've created and on the meaning of the prayer. I take refuge in the sublime precious three, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I will liberate all sentient beings and lead them to enlightenment. Thus perfectly do I generate bodhicitta. I take refuge in the sublime precious three. I will liberate all sentient beings and lead them to enlightenment. Thus perfectly do I generate bodhicitta. I take refuge in the sublime precious three. I will liberate all sentient beings and lead them to enlightenment. Thus perfectly do I generate bodhicitta. Having taken refuge, now regret. Bring to mind with deep regret specific negativities of body, speech, and mind you have created. You can think about something you did today that you'd like to purify. You may think of negative actions towards a specific person that you'd like to purify. Something from the past that seems to be still real heavy for you, you can bring that to mind. Whatever you want to purify is fine. And generate deep regret. I wish I had not done this. I regret having done this. And now make a request to Vajrasattva to help you purify these negative actions of body, speech, and mind. having generated deep regret, we now perform the remedy. And we visualize that rays of white light stream down from the syllable HUM and the letters of the mantra Vajrasattva's heart. These rays of white light flow down and enter our body through the crown of our head and completely fill our body with beautiful white light and a feeling of infinite bliss. Let's read the mantra together one time, maintaining that visualization of the white light flowing down from Vajrasattva into our head, filling our body. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Denupatita Dido Mebawa Sutokayo Mebawa Supokayo Mebawa Anurakto Mebawa Sawar Siddhi Memparyatsa Sawar Kama Sutsa Me Sitam Shriyam Kuru Hum Ha 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 Ho Bhagawan Sawar Tathagata Vajra Mame Mutsa Vajra Bawa Maha Samuya Sapa Aum Pe. If the visualization's gotten a little fuzzy, go back to it, clarify it. And maintaining that visualization, now we'll do a specific purification of body. Adding to the visualization, we imagine that our delusions and negativities in general, and particularly those of the body, take the form of black ink. And sicknesses and afflictions caused by spirits take the forms of scorpions and snakes. And we imagine that flushed out by the flow of white light from Vajrasattva, the black ink, the scorpions, and the snakes exit our body through the lower openings, like filthy water flowing from a drain pipe. We are now completely emptied of these problems. They no longer exist. So if you find that too complicated, you can just imagine blackness flowing out through the bottom of your body as the white light fills you and replaces it, and that's all your negative actions of body. Vajrasattva, white light flowing down into our body, flushing out all the negative actions of body through the lower part, so that they no longer exist. And we'll read the mantra one time and then recite it six more times to ourselves. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Denupatita Dido Me Bawa Sutokayo Me Bawa Supokayo Me Bawa Anurakto Me Bawa Sawar Siddhi Memparyatsa Sawar Kama Sutsa Me Siddham Shriyam Kuru Hum Ha 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 ho, Bhagawan, Sawar Tathagata, Vajra Mame Mutsa, Vajra Bawa Maha Samuya Safa Ahumpe. So we maintain the visualization and the mantra at the same time. Ahum Pe. And now we visualize the purification of our speech. The imprints of negative actions of speech take the form of liquid tar. And the light flowing from Vajrasattva fills our body like water filling a dirty glass. And the negativities, the tar, like the dirt in the glass, rises to the top and flows out to the upper openings of our body, our mind, our mouth and nose. So we visualize negative actions of speech as black liquid tar. White light flows down, fills our entire body. The tar rises to the top, comes out our mouth and nose, and we are completely purified of these negativities. They no longer exist. So maintaining that visualization, we'll do the mantra 7 more times. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Denupatita Dido Me Bawa Sutokayo Me Bawa Supokayo Me Bawa Anurakto Me Bawa Sawasiddhi Memparyatsa Sawakama Sutsame Sitan Shriyam Kuruhum Ha 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 Ho Bhagawan, Sawartatagata, Vajra Mame Mutsa, Vajra Bhava, Mahusamuya Safa Ahumpe. Ahum Pe. Our negativities of speech are completely purified. Now we visualize the negative actions of mind as darkness at the level of our heart. The light flowing from Vajrasattva shoots down, and the darkness completely disappears. We are completely emptied of these problems. They no longer exist anywhere. So all our negative actions of mind, our darkness at our heart, the white light from Vajrasattva flows down and completely dissipates that darkness. Maintaining that visualization, we recite the mantra. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Denupatita Dido Me Bawa Sutokayo Me Bawa Supokayo Me Bawa Anurakta Me Bawa Sawar Siddhim Memparyatsa, Sawar Kama Sutsame, Sitim Shriam Kuruhum, Ha 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 Ho, Bhagawan, Sawar Tata Gata, Vajra Mame Mutsa, Vajra Bawa, Mahu Samaya Sapa Humpe. Ahum Pe. And now we're going to visualize simultaneous purification of body, speech, and mind. We visualize the white light flowing down from Vajrasattva, the negative actions of body, leaving the body in form of black liquid, from below, negative actions of speech, leaving in the form of black tar from above, and negative actions of mind being completely eliminated at the level of our heart, that darkness, all from the white light flowing from Vajrasattva, simultaneously purifying body, speech, and mind. If you find that you can't visualize all of that at once, it's too much, you can just concentrate on one aspect of the visualization. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Denupatita Didome Bawa Sutokayo Me Bawa Supokayo Me Bawa Anurakto Me Bawa Mano Siddhim Memparyasa Sawakama Sutsame Siddhim Shriyam Guruhum Ha Ha Ho Om Vajrasattva Tathagata Vajrama Mutsa Vajrama Maya Samaya Safa Ahum Pe. Ahum Pe. And now we finish with the resolve. and make the following promise to Vajrasattva, specifying the period which you intend to keep it for, and just say to yourself, I shall not create this negative action or these negative actions from now until, and fill in the blank. And really have a sense that you're saying this to Vajrasattva, to a real Bodhisattva. Vajrasattva is extremely pleased and replies, Child of the Essence, all your negativities, obscurations, and degenerated vows have now been completely purified. And we visualize that Vajrasattva above our head melts into pure light. And this light dissolves into us through the crown of our head. And our body, speech, and mind become one with Vajrasattva's completely pure body, speech, and mind. They are identical, completely free of all negative karmic imprints. And just stay with that blissful experience for the next few moments. Your body completely filled with white light and a sense of being completely purified. Through this virtuous action, may I quickly become Vajrasattva and lead every living being without exception to his enlightened state. People can wiggle around. A lot going on in that meditation. Questions or comments? Yes. No, he's visual, looking the same way you are. Yeah, yeah. The details. Yeah, they seem. They're minor, but you need to get him worked out so you're not sitting there the whole meditation figuring out which way he's looking. And he's also life size. Okay, he's not teeny tiny. He's life size. Yeah, big. Okay, and three dimensional. Very important. You know, it's not just a painted image, but you could walk around and look at him from other sides. A sense of being real. Okay. Other comments or questions? Yes. That's start with that. That's fine. And you can fill in the details later, but just get that sense of white light. You know, even if you can't even get a body, if you just get, you know, like a light bulb or something there over your head, I think that's completely valid. See, Chris, was your hand up? Yeah, that's really a little taste of Tantra in that we identify completely with the enlightened being. We imagine that there's no difference between us and the enlightened being, and then the meditation is over and we're back with our all our negativities and things, but we get an experience of it. In the meditation, it says we're practicing being enlightened when we do those. And that is a little bit of Tantra there at the end, which is the last class in the Discovering Buddhism series, where we actually start to identify directly with the enlightened being. So we're using, I think it's important to realize that we're using our mind to purify the mind. We're visualizing, we're imagining Vajrasattva. We're connecting with that positive energy, but we're using our own mind to do it, to purify the negative imprints that are on the mind. So it's a very interesting psychological approach, I think. This is what they use the phrase being your own therapist. This is really what you're doing, being your own therapist here to remove those negative imprints. Any other questions? Yes.
I was at the Lamrim retreat this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And as most of the time I've heard, karma is very, very complex.
Yes.
And that this is an overview.
Mm-hmm.
Last week you had said that the sexual misconduct part, I'm trying to remember where that came from, that it was not having someone else's partner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not something. How do you comment on that?
Well, there are different texts that define it differently.
Did you say that someone, I don't know if it was the Dalai Lama, but someone was to say that it is a part if you take someone else's partner?
That's the definition that's used most commonly.
No.
But I can't quote a source, but it's something I've heard from my teachers. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But do monks and nuns have a totally different set of vows that's on top
of right. They have lots of vows, and you don't find what they are until you become ordained as a monk or nun, and then they tell you what all the vows you've just taken are. It's not like you can study them in advance. And for some reason, the nuns have a few more vows than the monks. They're slightly different.
Mm-hmm. And it was odd because the men had more power to decide things, and the women were, if you were attached to the guy or that guy. So I guess I'll come back as a man.
You've been a man countless previous times, yes. Okay. But it's also interesting in the iconography, in the image here where you have the male and female. Male always represents compassion. Female always represents wisdom, which is a little bit different than we tend to think sometimes of those energies. But the male energy is the compassion aspect. The female energy is the wisdom aspect. Okay, so there's a lot. I hope people got a sense of what that practice is like. I know it probably seemed very complicated. If that's brand new to you, just getting the mantra down is hard enough, but it's not that hard to memorize the mantra. And once you get that out of the way, you can really concentrate on the visualization some more. And I'm sure there'll be opportunities to do Vajrasattva practice here at the center. There are it's incorporated into a lot of stuff we do. If you'd like to keep the little booklet, you're welcome to do that. If you already have one or don't want it, you can just put it back in the box here. If you're taking the class for credit, the last homework is an essay question. You can pick a copy of that up here. Put it in my box out in the mailboxes out there sometime within the next month. And then you will and turn that in with your completion form if you want to do the class for credit. So turn in the essay question and the completion form, and put them in my box within the next month. I think, Scott, were you going to say something?
Yeah.
Finish up here? Thank you.